Hi guys, can you hear me? Yes, good. Is it echoey? There's not much in this room that I'm in, so it seems a bit echoey. It's good. Good. Thank you, Ken. Hello, Cheryl. Hello to everyone in the room. Those of you that might be listening on the radio. I really am so glad. Hey, Carrie, I'm really so glad to be able to sit down for this hour at least. As some of you may know, I literally just moved. They just delivered our cars. We had them shipped across the country from Southern California to North Florida, Northwest Florida. So it has been a extremely busy time. My practice has definitely fallen off, but my heart is still my heart is still with it. So I guess it's okay. The routine had to end to some degree to facilitate a move that happened from literally making a decision 1 month ago today to now. It's been just a ton of work, and so I'm literally, this feels like a time of rest for me, and I'm grateful for that time of rest. My body is sore and worn out. I feel a bit crabby. the I, that I. Yet I definitely notice all these things, and I'm allowing them to arise. It's not always pleasant to kind of fall into it, especially I find when my husband and I are both hungry and physically strained and anxious about things arriving or not arriving. Actually, Carrie, he's talking about the humidity. I have lived in Florida before, and so I actually like the humidity. I don't see that as a negative thing. And right now, it's beautiful. It's on the cool side in sunny skies, maybe 60 degrees. And so, yeah, in the summertime for sure, it's it definitely July, June, July, August, sometimes September. Are very humid and I don't seem to mind. So I am on the East Coast. No, I'm in the central. You're asking me in Florida. I'm in central Florida, but north of Orlando, like 70 miles or so. Yeah, so kind of in the middle of northern Florida. Yeah, in an area called the Villages. So that's the name of the city. At any rate, glad to be here, but mostly glad to be here and right now. And so I'm anxious to move on to experience your perfect soul. After all, my program is called No Fluff, and that's just my story. And so there's been a bit of an absence here in the sanctuary. I missed last week. We were in a hotel room, so. That's always a bit challenging with a dog and a hubby and a lot going on, as far as distractions go. So yes, I am back to experience your perfect soul, and I have a dog ear on page 168. But that was early into chapter six, which is the chapter of Ruby Nelson. And I see that that was only like a few pages. And what I'm going to do for my own refreshment is to just read through those first few pages with hopefully no commenting. We'll see how that goes. Just for my own opening to this particular piece. So the following quotes by Ruby Nelson are from the book The Door of Everything. And I'm just going to say a quick prayer that I am open to the door of everything, that my door, which has an experience, felt both open and closed very rapidly many times, that door remained open only, open to everything that is, as it is, always. That there's no temptation to close the door on a what seems to be a negative experience, that there's no closure to the noticing of judgment, that there's no closure to the experience of wanting to take control, as was talked about extensively this morning. First with Jay, and then I heard snippets of Rebecca speaking about noticing wanting to control. I noticed Regina spoke to that in the simplicity of something as simple as disagreeing with your partner over where to hang a picture. And we've had a ton of that between my husband and I. That wanting to be in control and that butting of heads to serve myself, that little self, in those snippets of forgetting the truth of who I am and simply letting everything be exactly as it is, noticing it, but being at ease with it rather than feeling that sense of separation, wanting it to go my way, the I being, insistent on getting its way, even over the piddly stuff. So I pray that in each of those instances, I find some peace and let the door of everything be open. Let the sun shine. Thank you, Lynn. I'm glad to be in Florida. No deserts or mountains. Basically flat, good for bike riding and walking. Yes, for sure. And we will definitely have plenty of opportunity to experience all of that. So these following quotes again by Ruby Nelson are from the book The Door of Everything, and they are direct path quotes that were selected by Michael Langford. This is chapter 6 for anybody who has the book Experience Your Perfect Soul, and I am on page 165. Yeah, Lynn, I would love to get together, so we will make that happen. I hope to be settled in. I am in a rental right now, and so it'll be a bit before we actually move into our own home. So here we go. I'm rereading just this the first 3 or 4 pages. So here we go. I am the light of life within you, and I have continued to shine through all the darkness of your manifold experiences. But your darkness has not comprehended me. And I can say that's my experience as well. When I'm in darkness, wanting it my way, insisting that it, go my way, the light of life doesn't shine very brightly because I'm insisting on my way, on the small self's way, forgetting that I am the light of life. The truth is that I am always with you, no matter where you are, no matter where you are. For in me, You live and move and have your being. So again, the truth is that I am always with you, no matter where you are. You know, that reference to the previous paragraph about the darkness of our manifold experiences, the darkness that does not comprehend the light of life. He's saying the truth is that I'm always with you, even there, you know, no matter where you are. For in me you live and move and have your being. In me, not apart from me, not in the darkness that seems to be the small self me, not that me, the light of me. And that light of me is eternal. Infinite, eternal awareness, love, bliss. The truth of me. If you would become conscious of my presence, look squarely in my face, stretch your mind and heart, and take a long, thorough, independent look. In 1,000 different places, you keep searching for me, finding tidbits of information about me everywhere you look, though most of it turns out to be intangible and incomplete, failing to show the way to firsthand consciousness of my presence. And to me, that speaks directly to the idea of a direct experience of the divine self. Not the, you know, as Jay spoke about this morning, the being stuck in the mind, stuck in, you know, needing to know something, intelligence, you know, stuck in the head space, wanting to, you know, read another book, learn another concept, you know, that's just endless if we allow it to be. What this is speaking to is finding that true self in the direct experience of it. And I think Jay spoke about it as far as reading. I'm reading slowly, thoughtfully, taking it in, sitting with it. He had a different way of expressing it, and I forget what the direct verbiage was, but same idea where it's not just reading it to gain more intellectual information, it's directly experiencing like a download of what it has for you in that moment, and you're ready for it because your mind is open to that experience. Completely open, trusting that you will hear what it is you are to hear. And he's calling that firsthand consciousness of my presence, where our consciousness is conscious of what's being delivered, open to it. So again, in 1,000 different places, you keep searching for me, finding tidbits of information about me everywhere you look, though most of it turns out to be intangible and incomplete, failing to show the way to firsthand consciousness of my presence. Nevertheless, the restlessness in your soul motivates you to keep the search continuing. Deep beneath your heart is the tantalizing sureness that oneness with me can be found. All the while, I am so close to you, I have been overlooked. And you know, I've heard people that describe their different experiences of awakeness, that you know, in one way, laughing at themselves, that it's just like this, oh my God moment of how could I possibly have missed or overlooked or taken for granted, unrecognized, the truth of myself. How was that even possible? And yet, when those of us who have not had a lasting awakeness can overlook that, do overlook that, don't really know what that sureness of oneness really is. Yet beneath that anxiety over not having a direct experience all the time, you know, resting in that completely, there is that restlessness, that incompleteness, that search, that tantalizing, wanting to know. It's my aspiration. I want to know in direct experience. I don't want to just talk about it. I'm sick of that. Let me know, Father, in direct experience. You know, short prayers throughout the day when I notice the mind wandering along spiritual paths that lead nowhere in the end. That motivation to keep going. So again, nevertheless, the restlessness in your soul motivates you to keep the search continuing. Deep beneath your heart is the tantalizing sureness that oneness with me can be found. And that makes me teary-eyed. All the while, I am so close to you. I have been overlooked. You have taken me for granted until you no longer recognize me. And that brings to mind very quickly, I had been fumbling a couple of weeks ago over the quote from Michael Langford's The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss. And it's from chapter one, number 88. And it says, your true self deserves your attention. Your true self deserves your attention. And this line to me speaks to that idea. He says, all the while, I am so close to you. I have been overlooked. You have taken me for granted until you no longer recognize me. As you reach outward, outward, hoping to find me, I hide in your mind, your heart, your soul. I hide in the consciousness within you. And Michael Langford teaches, from the get-go, we're trained to look out, outward. Focus your attention, focus your consciousness, focus your awareness outward. And all of these direct path quotes point to what's within all of our exercises, all of our gentle healing, every great master. Look within. A Course in Miracles. Go within. For I am your well of living waters, your reservoir of life force. And if you will learn to draw from my resources eagerly and deliberately, these resources will increase and multiply until your entire being is transformed into a vessel unceasingly running over with holy radiance. I mean, really, really just take that in. You know, so often we just skip right over those kinds of reassurances, those kinds of promises, those kinds of openings that are grace itself. If we just place our faith in that, believe in that, say that a few times, sit with that for a minute. Read it more than once. Stop for a moment and contemplate. Okay, guys, I think I'm back. Am I back now? Okay, I'm not really sure what happened there, but yeah, I'm back at any rate. Yes, yes, you can hear me. There you go. Okay, thanks, Becky. I'm going to just reread that last beautiful paragraph again. For I am your well of living waters, your reservoir of life force. And if you will learn to draw from my resources, eagerly and deliberately, these resources will increase and multiply until your entire being is transformed into a vessel unceasingly running over with holy radiance. I mean, that was a jewel. It has 1, 2, 3 commas, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines long. It's one long sentence. So good news isn't writing too much. Okay, and that was like absolutely beautiful, guys. Yeah, that was where we left off last time. And I still have a half an hour, so we get to have another half an hour of new material. But I was so glad to go over that. It was, I love Ruby Nelson's work. It's absolutely beautiful to me. It just touches my heart in a really direct experience sort of a way. So again, this is from her book, The Door of Everything, and these are direct path quotes. So the submerged... You can post, yes, that I started at page 165 today because that is in fact where I started. I reread the same thing that I had read a couple of weeks ago. It's the very beginning of Ruby Nelson, and quite frankly, it didn't stick with me because I missed a week. So, but we are now back on page 167, which is where I was supposed to start today, but I didn't. Now we will go into that. The submerged mind is like a sunken treasure chest, chock full of wonders, waiting for you to discover it and draw it to the surface. For the most part, it lies neglected and untouched. Even though I have stored within it all my powers, all my wisdom, all the truth in the cosmos, the record. The peace that passes understanding, the love that conquers all. This submerged mind is your center of divine wisdom. An area of mind that does not think in the normal sense of the word. It knows. The nature of it is pure and holy. It has never been. Can you guys hear me now? Okay, yes. It's interesting because I am on my iPad this time. I thought I would try my iPad, being that my Mac used to drop. Remember, my mic was dropping, and now I seem to be experiencing the same thing with the Mac, with the iPad. So, yeah. Maybe I'll try the Mac and see what happens, but I'll stick with this for now. Okay, let me, yeah, I don't know what's going on, Becky. I'm going to read this last paragraph again. This submerged mind is your center of divine wisdom, an area of mind that does not think in the normal sense of the word. It knows. The nature of it is pure and holy. It has never been touched by limited or negative belief. It is a living part of me. Your submerged mind extends into the central area of feeling. That I live also in your heart as a reservoir of love that is immeasurable. Yeah, your submerged mind extends into the central area of feeling, the heart. And I think, and I could be wrong, guys, because I'm quite out of whack, but Regina was asking us to do an exercise this week. For gentle healing, I believe. Did it not have to do with like feeling Or am I wrong on that? But what, because I'm a person who seems to, in a human form, have her feelings r right on the surface. I mean, I can't hide my feelings well at all. They are right there at the surface. And so when I'm angry, you pretty much know that I'm angry. I may be silent angry, but you're still gonna get my drift. If I am moved to tears, they come so quickly that I cannot push them away. So this idea of your submerged, can't hide the stink eye. No fluff. It's that is the damn truth with me. It just is right there. I might try to conceal it or hide it. My ego, that is, the imposter self, wanting to present the face of innocence somehow, mask it as if I'm, somehow in this space of purity when I'm not. I'm absolutely not. At the same time, what I'm noticing, what I am noticing, is that I see that more quickly. I do not indulge it to the extent that I used to. I confirm in my own mind, I am not these feelings. I am not this anger of the moment. I am not these this crabby person. I am not my need to control. I am that which notices it all. I am that which observes it. And I can stop it quicker by acknowledging the presence of that presence. And so even as I'm experiencing it, letting it happen and, doing what I do as the human self, this feeling self doesn't have such a grip on me as it used to. I know that this heart self, this moving from the head into the heart, letting that grow, letting that expand, that's where the immeasurability is given from, not in the head. That's the limited mind, that voice that is like Velcro that wants me to attach to what it's saying and what it's feeling and what it's experiencing, and it's shifting and changing and it's madness. And I am in a real place of how can I say, straddling a fence. It feels like that's the most accurate way to describe it, as knowing what I should do, and sometimes choosing not to do it. Allowing it to move through, but I'm not always allowing it to move through. So I get that. I get that I'm not allowing it to move through. By how do I get that? How do I know that? By how I feel. There's no denying that on my end of it. I mean, for God's sake, come on. It's right there. It's not peaceful. It's painful. It's suffering. It's still listening to that, need to control. That need to be right, that need to try, to think you can change someone else, telling them what to do. It's like nuts how often that comes up. That, yeah, I want what I want when I want it. And it's talking about this submerged mind, mind you, not the peripheral mind, the mind that's used to looking outward, the mind that's focused on control, and all those little things, those little examples I just shared with you that I'm noticing going on in my own little life. It's talking about this submerged mind. When you see that crazy, chaotic mind, that out of control mind, that outwardly focused mind running the show in the circus, right in the circus, there instead is this submerged mind right underneath all that darkness. This sunken treasure chest, chock full of wonders, it says. Waiting, waiting, always patiently waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting for me to discover it and draw it to the surface, because it says for the most part, it lies neglected and untouched. Can you imagine? Even though it says, I have stored within it all my powers, all my wisdom, all the truth in the cosmos, the record of existence, the force that quickens and perfects, the peace that passes understanding, and the love that conquers all. But you're so busy looking outward, trying to control everything and everybody, because you want what you want when you want it. Wah, wah, wah. That you bypass that. You bypass it. Your submerged mind extends into the central area of feeling, the heart. I live also in your heart, as a reservoir of love that is immeasurable. At the summit of the highest level of human consciousness, there is a door, and that's capital D and in quotes. There is a door through which you can slip and be free from all the influences you are under in the sub-creation. And this next piece is entitled, just in case we want to know about the sub-creation, here we go. Some think I have thrown them into the searing earthly experiences, burn, baby, burn, so they can learn to face troubles and live with them. What's that piece from A Course in Miracles? Trials are but lessons presented once again. For where you failed to learn before, you're given another opportunity, another chance, to find the miracle, to see it again, to change your mind. And we think, in a false way, that there's some sort of a mean God sending these experiences, so we can buck up and be good Christians. Throwing curveballs. see how we can, you know, play dodgeball with us, see how we can do. Oh my Yeah. Some think I have thrown them into the searing earthly experiences so they can learn to face troubles and live with them. Some think it is my way of punishing them for past sins. Others think the reason for it all is that I am attempting to form perfect beings by slow trial and error methods, like Chinese torture, shaping a little here, rounding a little off there, filing off somewhere else, a process which is supposed to go on for thousands of lifetimes while each is being honed down to the essence I want. Still, others believe that I'm testing to see if they're worthy. Are you worthy to inherit heaven after death? Yeah, for sure. For any of us that have done any inquiry whatsoever, generally, at some point in my experience at least, I've heard many, many people speak to where they get to be, I'm not worthy, just not good enough. Who amongst us has not drilled down to that at some point? I'm not worthy. And yet, A Course in Miracles teaches as well, your worth is established by God, therefore unchangeable. And it would be blasphemous, actually arrogant, to question your worth. And the question we might ask is, who would question your worth? Who would that be? Does the true self question its worth? Or does it know? Yeah, turn towards that self. Oh my God, yeah, again, so the sub-creation, back to the sub-creation. So again, still others believe that I am testing to see if they are worthy to inherit heaven after death. If found unworthy, the belief goes, Satan will inherit the soul and it will be tormented forever in a lake of fire and brimstone. Oh God. All of these stories are products of the surface mind. There you go, the surface mind. Yeah. Misinterpretations of my word. And Michael Langford, in I think it's the most direct means to eternal bliss somewhere, it says that every single spiritual text has been misinterpreted. All of them. All of them. They're all misinterpreted. Words do that. Symbols of symbols, twice removed from reality, A Course in Miracles says. Interpreted, reinterpreted, perceived, not knowledge. An interpretation is not knowledge. Rely on the direct download from within. That's why we're encouraged at some point to put the books down. Go within. Listen. That's where the information comes from. All of it. Yeah, Jay says it says the ego almost immediately twists the teaching into a form that does not bring it to an end, and that 99% of the spiritual teachings do not bring the ego to a final end, or people would in mass have brought the ego to an end. Yeah, for sure. And that's why even in his own books, Michael Langford suggests before you start, if you've just read the book through one time and find yourself, saying, oh, that can't be right, or arguing with it, he says, give it a whirl. At least read it three times before you start judging it. That's what the ego does. It wants to immediately find something wrong with everything. So again, they're always stories, and they're all of these stories. I got to see what time it is. All of these stories are products of the surface mind, misinterpretations of my word. If you have filled your reservoir with accepted human beliefs in limitation, then you are limited in all your actions. But if you are willing to empty out your heart and let me fill it with eternal truth, you will experience a transformation. And that's what it goes back to in the very beginning, that idea that spoke about the transformation. Again, opening our minds, letting go of everything we think we already know, which is what Jay spoke to, that I know mind. Oh, I already know that. We sit in spiritual circles, satsangs, we listen to recordings, we listen to teachers, and the ego wants to say, I don't need to listen to that again. I already know that. I know what that means. In emptying out of your surface mind is essential to your ability to realize and experience the perfection. You can experience perfect oneness with me just as readily as you have been experiencing an utter sense of separation from me. The secret is to control the point at which your attention is focused. And, immediately when I read the first, an emptying out of your surface mind is essential to your ability to realize and experience the perfection, what came to mind for me was Michael Langford's suggestion in one of the direct path meditation exercises. And it is, if you notice a thought, don't complete the thought. Simply turn away from the thought. To me, that represents emptying the mind. There will be thoughts, at least for me, that my experience is, speaking from my personal experience, I definitely still have thoughts appearing when I sit down for meditation. But what I notice with my practice is that I notice the thoughts much quicker than I used to. And so when I notice the thought, I simply stop mid-sentence and turn my attention around to look at itself rather than to continue the thought stream. Or I may even remark in my mind, I see you. or ah, I see what's going on here, or I'm not going to complete that thought, or oh, I got involved, in a complete sentence and was onto a story, and I make note of that happened, but I knock it off, I cut it off. I abandon the thought. You just walk away from it. I don't have to engage it. And so for me, that's that emptying out. That's that turning the attention towards the silence, away from the chatter, away from the familiar voice, and being curious about what the silence offers. And then he goes on to say, you can experience perfect oneness with me just as readily as you have been experiencing an utter sense of separation from me. It's just as easy. You can do it. And what's the secret? The secret is to control the point at which your attention is focused. Where is my attention? By controlling the point of conscious focus, the sub-creation can be erased just as easily as it was brought about. It has never pleased me to have you suffer the unpleasant experiences created by misthinking. Let me say that again. It has never pleased me to have you suffer the unpleasant experiences created by misthinking. And I have set up no rigid laws that say you must accept the consequences of your mistakes. Instead, I've tried to tell you that I forgive sins instantly. I cancel out the many effects of wrong thinking. I pull you through that door in mind and gather you under the shadow of my protective wing as soon as you stretch out your hand to let me know that you're ready. You reap what you have sown as long as your surface mind is drifting here and there between the poles of good and evil, and your feelings are implanted by this surface picture. And that's describing exactly my direct experience in the last few weeks, for real. You reap what you have sown as long as your surface mind is drifting here and there between the poles of good and evil. And your feelings are implanted by this surface mixture. As soon as you accept the truth of my eternal perfection and learn to master the surface mind, thereby controlling the reservoir of feeling, your level of consciousness is elevated to that transcendental apex wherein all evil conditions fall under the dominion of my light. Wow. I mean, this didn't say, at least the way I'm this is coming in for me is it didn't say, these evil conditions stop existing in the world, but it says the mind that places its full attention with eternal perfection, with truth, is guided from that elevated consciousness in this worldly experience, but the light is shining on every condition, including the evil conditions. So again, you reap what you have sown. As long as your surface mind is drifting here and there between the poles of good and evil, and your feelings are implanted by this surface mixture. As soon as you accept the truth of my eternal perfection and learn to master the surface mind, and we master the surface mind by where we place our attention, thereby controlling the reservoir of feeling, your level of consciousness is elevated to that transcendental apex wherein all evil conditions fall under the dominion of my light. As soon as you refuse to be blinded by the web of subcreation and cease using your mixed thought forces to sustain it, it will dissolve before you. Again, as soon as you refuse to be blinded by the web of sub-creation and stop using your mixed thought forces, that's what sustains it. Stop using that thought force. What happens is it dissolves right before you when you stop using it. Its use is what gives it the life it seems to have. So stop using it. And I'm going to stop there, guys. I see my time is up. Watch where you place your attention. That's the key, the secret. Control the point at which your attention is focused. Okay, I stopped on page 170, about three quarters of the way down. And I'll probably go over that a little bit again. It feels like something I need to reread again for myself. Thank you all for joining me and listening. I appreciate it. And I'll see you guys later. Bye.